Don't blink, or you'll have missed the shortest electoral campaign of France's Fifth Republic. Will 19 days of canvassing have moved the needle since Emmanuel Macron's surprise dissolution of Parliament on the night of European elections? Not according to the polls. They suggest the president may regret getting what he wished for with his decision to clear the air and go to the polls. The far right's never been closer to power since the Nazi regime of Vichy. Reminder that an even shorter sprint starts Sunday night at 8 p.m. when the polls close on the first round. France's legislative elections are actually 577 individual races that feature a runoff the following week. What alliances, what chances of an outright majority for Marine Le Pen's national rally? What message do citizens of the European Union's second largest economy really want to send for a national contest with worldwide consequences? Today in the France 24 debate, we're asking, what if the polls have got it right this time? And with us, running for re-election from President Macron's Renaissance Party, Member of Parliament Eleanor Carrois, whose French constituency includes the Caribbean and Latin America. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
With us as well, he's mayor of the Paris suburb of Maisons-Laffitte, Jacques Millard, running for Parliament, not as a member of the National Rally, but under the alliance that the National Rally has.
Let's say I'm standing on my own profile, and fortunately, they did not oppose me anyone.
You're with Eric Ciotti's part of the Les Républicains.
I think things are moving on, you know, because in the streets people say, we are very glad to have you back.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a moment as well. She's not running. Socialist deputy mayor of Paris, municipal councillor, Olivia Podolsky. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
He's covering the penultimate night of campaigning from Paris's Place de la République, France 24's. Clovis Casali is with us. We'll cross to you in a moment, Clovis. Your reactions on the hashtag F24Debate. First off, the evening of June 9th, it seems like it was a long, long time ago.
I decided to give back to you the choice for the future of our parliament with a vote. This is a time for much-needed clarification.
C'est un temps de clarification.
I think things got way clearer. And now we're really in the campaign time. My constituents voted yesterday and the day before online. They're voting on Saturday. So now we're just running and hoping to get that seat back.
Jacques Millard, has the needle moved during the, I mean, it's a very short campaign.
Yes, very short, but very stimulating, you know. We are boosting. And because, you know, I always said that if it was a dissolution of the assembly, I would campaign. I would stand for a new mandate. And of course...
Because you were in a previous life member of
Parliament. Yeah, well, I was. I was 24, more than 20 years as an MP, you know. But the point is that everyone was surprised, there is no doubt. I was waiting for this dissolution of the National Assembly at the budget time, you see, but not so quickly. I think he committed suicide. I think he's dreaming, he's believing that he will get, you know, a majority. I mean, he will get another one.
Being Emmanuel Macron. Olivia Podolsky, this campaign, what's it felt like for you?
Well, I think that Emmanuel Macron tried to gamble.
Yes. Later,
but I think he will fail. And the polls are showing that it's not working and it's...
What have you been up to the last 2 weeks? Mess. Tell us how your last 2 weeks have been.
Well, I've been campaigning with my fellow socialist candidates in Paris, and I think that we are trying to tell people that they have a choice. This is a left choice. We are united, and we are ready. We have a program, and we'll change things.
Clovis Casali, you're at Paris's Place de la République. This isn't a rally organized by any specific party, but by trade unions.
Indeed, François, organized by trade unions and also by left-wing media outlets. And you've also got actors, actresses and musicians who will be taking to the stage just behind me. You've already got thousands of people here, Place de la République, in the heart of the French capital. More people set to arrive, of course, as they come out of work. What are the people here asking for? They're asking the French people to really mobilize, get together and head to the polling stations to prevent the French National Rally, the French far-right party, from getting into power. People here we've been talking to all tell us that the French far-right is a threat to democracy. Take a listen.
Because I think that it would be very dangerous for a lot of people if Bardella is the next prime minister. So I'm here for my rights and for the rights of other people, because in the way he speaks, in the way he wants to change France, he doesn't take care of other people when they're not French, and it's a problem for me.
I'm here today because I'm so afraid about the situation in France. It's just crazy because we think like the air and can pass like very, very easily. I was very like surprised because some my friends vote for this, and I think it's just because they don't know actually for who they vote for real. Like, extreme right-wing politics is very like about racism, xenophobia, homophobic, and it's very crazy because they want to cancel everything about the LGBT rights. It's very crazy about it, and like just the minorities, they will disappear.
Well, demonstrations like this have been taking place all across France, and especially here, Place de la République in Paris. Some of the protesters we spoke to say the situation is urgent and dangerous for France if the French far right comes into power, gets into government. Of course, here, people are left-wing supporters. They back the new Popular Front, this alliance made up of left-wing parties, including the Socialists, the Greens, the Communists, and the radical left, the France Unbowed movement of Jean-Luc Mélenchon. And people here are really worried by the situation because, of course, all polls are predicting a crushing victory of the national rally, the far-right party of Marine Le Pen and Jordan Bardella.
We'll be crossing back to you later, Clovis Caselli. Yeah, those polls are showing that the national rally and its allies could be within shooting distance of an outright majority. Let's break it down, though. Online registration for citizens abroad has hit a record high, judging by the surge here in France on the mainland of proxy voting requests nationwide. The turnout could swing up from a record low of 45%. 45% last time to perhaps, this is the wrong graphic here, to more perhaps more than 60% for this election. The increased turnout can go both ways, Eleonore Carroix, because it's seen as though it won't be the same result as it was in the European elections. But it also means that there'll be more three-way races and that it may not at all stop that momentum of the far right.
No, absolutely. But I think you have to be really cautious when interpreting the polls, because we have to remind everyone that the legislative elections are two rounds and they're also uninominal. You're not voting for a list, you're only voting for a person. So I think when you actually look at the polls and they talk about three blocks, that doesn't mean much, because you'd have to look into who are people planning on voting for. And within those three blocks, you have differences that are really relevant, because what I'm really clear about is that once the election is passed, these blocks will no longer be the same. Because when you look at, for instance, the left, you have a very strange alliance of parties that were fighting each other very vehemently only a few weeks ago, and that now say that they agree on, you know, blocking the far right. But when you look at the program, they still disagree on many things, such as, for instance, environmental issues, Europe, political foreign affairs issues. And when you look at the right, you see that there's also part of the Republicans that have gone with the far right, which also don't have a clear stance. So you see that it's very moving, and I think what you have to look into is a more granular results. Who are French people planning on voting for in the different constituencies, and how will France look afterwards? Because there will be realliances, I'm sure of that.
It's interesting, Olivia Posquet, because there's a second of these lead candidates debates taking place. First time around, it was a representative of the far-left France Unbowed party. For the second one, it's a socialist, who the leader of the Socialist Party, who's going to be representing. Do you agree that actually this is just an alliance of convenience, and that this will fall apart after July 8th?
It's the second time. It's not the first time. The legislative before we were united too. And I think that's what the left people ask for us is to be united, is to be strong and have proposals. And we have a program that is very clear about our priorities.
Sorry, but then it really blowed apart. And that's really striking.
This is a left. We all have our differences. And that's what
we
interesting.
Know.
No, what the rights too.
Yeah, and
I think actually, you said at the outset, Jack Miao, that you're not a member of the National Rally, that you're your own man.
Tell you one thing.
Does that mean that you're gonna? Does that mean that one, if elected, you would sit with Les Républicains, or would you sit with the far right? Would you?
This is something which is very important. I will.
Is it the same problem on your side of the aisle?
Yes, but I will see it as a Republican, but of course I will see it near the alliance that Ciotti has underscribed. All I know is that there will be a
Russian. Are you comfortable with him sitting next to the leader?
Let me finish.
The former leader of Les Républicains. Are you comfortable sitting next to Marine Le Pen?
No, but don't worry. There will be a reshuffling of the majority and the political scene in France after this election. We won't find anything that we had before. There will be a new reshuffling on the left, as well as on the right. And I believe that the choice of Ciotti will be the future, you know.
The question could be put to you as well, Eleonore Carroi, because Emmanuel Macron's party is made up of people whose DNA comes from the center-right, others who come from the Socialist Party.
Yeah.
Do you think there could be this grand redistribution of the cards on July the 8th, and that you yourself, you might be re-elected, but may decide to sit in a different voting block than the one you're running for?
Like, if I answer to this question as an elector, just as a citizen, I would tell you that this is perhaps the most complicated and unreadable election in France ever because of these three blocks that don't mean much today. Emmanuel Macron's idea was to go le dépassement, to go further away from the left and the right traditional division that we had in France. And he made a political proposal that was really centered also on his person, on his personality, with no, with a very weak structural party behind. The traditional parties, left and right, are weakened. And you have these two blocks. And the problem with those blocks...
So you're saying Emmanuel Macron never took the time to build a party.
Macron is a weakness.
I mean, no, I think he tried to build a party, and to a certain extent, there is a movement that, I mean, a lot of people from civil society, it entered into politics because they believed in that. They didn't want to be either with one, you know, with one etiquette or another. They wanted to be for common good, and they truly believed in this possibility of going away from these two blocks. And today, everything, all the blocks, the left block and the right block, are trying to go back to that. But the real problem, and that's why I'm saying you have to look into, for every single election, who do you have? Who's the candidate that is representing? Is that the left block today is dominated, and I'm sorry to say it, by Jean-Luc Mélenchon's LFIs, which is not what I believe the majority of the left people want to vote for. And then the right bloc is now completely also dominated by far-right ideas, which I believe the traditional Republican right in France does not agree to those ideas. So that's why I'm thinking that there's going to be a real reshuffling. And that's why my message to voters that are wondering what's happening and what will happen next is vote for responsible candidates.
I can understand that you are in a weakness. That's all.
No, I'm not.
Of course.
I'm not even talking about myself.
You forget.
You see, you're always attacking.
No. Let me say just one thing.
French
Macron
people...
is rejected. Full stop.
But that's not. He's not standing, and he's not.
This is not a question. This is not a question.
Well, it is.
You have been.
It is.
You have been going with him, and you will have to be responsible for the state of France of today. Full stop.
Look,
the people, the election, the French don't want of you anymore.
Look, I think that the aggressivity of both blocs, the fact that politics have turned into a very polarized debate, is what make people go away from traditional parties.
Olivia
and I think
Polsky.
That's what has weakened Europe.
Let me bring in Olivia Polsky on this. Olivia Polsky, are we about to return to the blocks we had before 2017,
no.
Or is France about to embark on a very different experiment with a Jordan Bardella, a far-right prime minister.
It's going to be different, but I'm sure that Macronism without Macron is nothing. It has no existence.
This is true.
So when Macron won't be elected anymore, and then they will disappear. And so if we have to build something else after that. So, I mean, the future is on the... I believe that the future is on the left side. And
some of the polls say, though. For the,
well, we're not that, that far. And I think that the polls have always, these years, underestimated the left.
François, I am pretty sure that we will go back a new dilemma or a new challenge between the right and the left. I'm pretty sure that the left will come back. And
but
we
you
are
said
standing...
at the outset of this conversation, you're Republican. This isn't the right versus the left anymore. This is the far right.
No. Mm. I'm pretty sure that it will come back because there is something. As it has been said, Macron's finish is out of the game. But it will come, and we are in a new, let's say, schedule for the right with Bardella. This is true, with, of course, people like me standing Republican, but as an ally and standing firmly on our position.
So you're happy with Jordan Bardella becoming prime minister?
Well, wait and see. There is no... I am not gambling about that. You know, he will have faced difficulties because the situation is awful, but I'm pretty sure that we will come back one day, right and left, and no more Macron.
And what about the extremes?
Pardon?
And what about the far right?
Don't speak of extreme again. This is gambling. This is absolutely, you know, bluff.
I'm
pretty sure.
Look at what they proposed.
When you said at the beginning, when you mentioned that the left, the right was coming back the first time after, you know, what happened during the war, I mean, don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous.
Look at how aggressive you are.
Bardella, we know those people. They come from the RPR, which I belong to. And our executive went to Macron Maréchal. And this is the point. I have many friends who have been campaigning with me in the National Rassemblement, you see. So you have to face the reality of men.
Let's take a look. Let's take a look here, because France... has had, just to remind our viewers, power sharing before, what we call in this country cohabitation. And France's President Emmanuel Macron says whatever the outcome is after two rounds of voting, first round coming up Sunday, he will remain president.
Yes.
In those other cohabitation examples, you had a president from one camp, a government from the rival camp. In those cases, the executive branch had its say on foreign and defense matters. This time, Marine Le Pen says she won't concede military matters to the commander-in-chief. Liza Herbert has more.
There's an air of confidence in Marine Le Pen with snap parliamentary polls around the corner. In an interview with a regional paper, she said her far-right party is likely to secure an absolute majority. She's predicting the polls will place President Macron in an uncomfortable situation and he'll only end up serving as an honorific commander-in-chief, telling Le Telegram it's the prime minister that controls the purse strings.
You know, the Constitution, I looked at Article 15. The head of state is the commander-in-chief. The prime minister has a budgetary veto. It means it's the prime minister who commits the finances, and it's the prime minister who signs authorizations for finances when there are military operations.
The National Rally's appeal over the past few years has been aided by CNews, a channel that's seen as France's version of Fox News in the United States. It's frequently been reprimanded and fined by the country's TV watchdog for spreading conspiracy theories. And now one of its former commentators is running on a National Rally ticket.
If you don't like the phrase great replacement, there are others. What counts is not the name, but the facts. I can tell you about the flood of migration that's radically changing the nature of our people in terms of culture, language. I recently saw the deputy mayor of Paris suggested printing leaflets in Arabic. If that's not a marker of the evolution of France, I don't know what is.
Recent polls show the far right will come out on top in the upcoming vote. However, ahead of its outcome, a new report from the country's Human Rights Commission shows all forms of racism and intolerance were on the rise in France last year.
And there was a poll done and it was 12,000 people surveyed. This was done for Le Monde and French public broadcasting. They asked people who voted for the national rally for Marine Le Pen's party on June 9th in the European elections why they voted for them. Number one reason given they agreed with their values and their ideas. Second, to support the 28-year-old lead candidate, Jordan Bardella. And third, to cast a protest vote. Let's get reactions to that. Eleanor Carroix, first of all, there is this momentum for the national rally, for the far right. And you see also some of the issues that have been coming up the most, particularly things like fear of immigration. Is it a momentum that you can't stop anymore?
What I see when I look at these numbers is that there is some adherence to their values and their project. But when you look at their project and their values, you see that it's constantly changing, and that the party, the Rassemblement National, adapts to the wind. Like, for instance, for a long time, they were for Frexit. When they understood that Brexit was not perhaps a good idea for Britain, they suddenly said, well, we've never said that. For a long time also, they opposed to binational. The vice president of the country, of the party said, I don't want binationals with the countries that are outside of Europe. And then he...
Dual
went
citizenship.
Backwards. Dual citizenship, exactly. And immediately went backwards. But then Jordan Bardella himself said, well, not in strategic positions. I find this extremely offensive. I am a binational, and I am a French politician, and I don't understand why I wouldn't be able to be in positions that are, quote unquote, sensitive. So I think their ideas are not perceived as what they are, because they keep hiding themselves. And for being with them for the past 2 years in the Assemblée Nationale, I can tell you that they went up for being quiet, but because every time they actually expressed their position, you saw the xenophobia and the racism coming up. And this is what we actually need to put
Olivia
into Polsky, the debate.
Why has there been this rise in the far right?
I think that people want change. They want a better life, they want hope, and they want... to have a better, that's in the polls too, they want a better buying power and security than they have now. So they want change, and this is expression of a change willing. And I think that we can offer, we the left, a path that is different to the far right. The far right, it has been said, is the xenophobia, is the anti-Semitism too. And it's the homophobia too, and they reject all the minorities. When you see all over Europe, where when the far right passed, the minorities are all rights of the minorities are all blown up. So I think we should fight. We should mobilize on this election because it's very important. But we have to have a positive message for a better life, and we want to offer the hope.
Jacques Millard, the far right, which says it wants to end birthright, citizenship for those born on French soil, something that
This is pure rubbish for the Inquisition. In many cases, in France today, in special services, you don't have binationals, first. And never forget that in many other countries, in the United States, for instance, binationals or those who are not born in America will not be able to campaign in few states. That's the point. Secondly, when you speak of this awful Rassemblement National that will expel people or things like that, no. The point is that we had since 1867, the droit du sol, the soils, when you're born, what it is. It was to make soldiers. That's Napoleon III who imposed those who were born in France, they will be engaged as soldiers to make war. This is the point. And when we kept double soil you know, nationality with the Algerian government. You know what the Algerian government told us? You are making French against the will of those people.
Let me turn now to Clovis Cazalis, who's at that rally at Place de la République. On this campaign, going beyond what's in that square in Paris, what would you have seen during these 19 days? What's been the number one issue? Has it been this issue of identity and immigration? Has it been spending power? What's been coming up the most?
I think it clearly is the purchasing power of the French people. The feeling, not here in Paris, because bear in mind in Paris, only 8% of the people voted for the national rally in the electoral, in the last European elections, as opposed to over 30% in the rest of France. But over the French territory, a lot of people are suffering, are struggling to pay their bills, are struggling to give a bright future to their children. And when you have a situation where you feel that your children aren't going to have the same chances and the same life that you had, then it becomes a real problem. And François, you know, I followed the national rally in Jardin Bardella a lot over the last few days. And it's very interesting to see their strategy. They're not campaigning across the country. They know they're in a strong position. They are only, Jardin Bardella is only giving interviews to journalists, going on various TV channels, and of course broadcasting his message. But he's not taking any risk in this campaign, not holding any public meeting, because he knows there's too much at stake here. He doesn't want to have a counter demo, or he's trying to minimize risk, I have to say. And for the past 10 years or so, I've been following Marine Le Pen, the Front National, National Front, that then became the National Rally. And we've clearly seen a change of strategy. She's been trying to change her image, change the party's image, soften her message on many levels, and create this union of the right wing. And she's succeeded now with Éric Ciotti. It's a sweet victory for Marine Le Pen, regardless of the result. Of course she wants to get in government with Jordan Bardella. Of course she's dreaming of becoming the next French president in 2027. But she succeeded with Éric Ciotti joining her. She succeeded in creating this big alliance, this big right-wing bloc. But let's be honest, this right-wing bloc is towards the far right, and she's the boss, really.
She's the one who is the one calling the shots, even though Jordan Bardella is the lead candidate for the party, the one who would become prime minister. Should they reach that magic number of 289 seats in the next parliament, Bardella, who's calling the Financial Times for a Margaret Thatcher-style rebate on France's contribution to the European Union budget, coinciding with an EU summit that's taking place as we speak, there it's perhaps a weakened French president who faces the prospect of sharing power with the far right or else a hung parliament. Earlier this week, in a podcast interview, Emmanuel Macron warned of civil war if the extremes win, as he put it.
If we take your reasoning to its logical conclusion, either the country explodes or a civil war breaks out. And that's where I disagree with both extremes and those who follow them. And it's also what I'd like to alert people to. A lot of our compatriots go to the extremes because they often have anger or something that isn't being addressed. And there are a lot of people who vote for the extreme right because there's insecurity in their daily lives, because there's an immigration that they consider is not being dealt with. And they say to themselves, we haven't tried these parties out yet, and this party has been here for 7 years, so we're going to try something else. And my response to those people, I've taken in your message. I think we need to go much faster and much harder on security.
Olivier Polsky, has Macron been successful in painting your bloc as extreme? Is there a glass ceiling that you can't go above because of that?
Of course not. I mean, you know that we have a very solid program. We have some socialists and some Place Publique and some Greens. We are all able to rule the government. And he wants to say there are just the two extremes and us and me. And but it's false. We are able. We are
do
not.
You,
the extreme,
do you endorse the use of that word civil war, Eleanor Carrois?
Rubbish. Yeah.
I think what is happening now is that the far left is taking over control of this new NUPES. You said it before. This has existed, and we saw what happened in the National Assembly for 2 years. It was dominated by the chaos, the disruption.
But my question is the word civil war.
I'm getting to that. Mm-hmm. So, and then you see what happens with the far right. And it, to the extent it was always a form of circus and the politics was really misused and disruptive, I think the perception that French people can have is that politicians are not doing what they should be doing, and it is because of this opposition that they turn then to the far right. But civil war, I think it's extreme, obviously. It's not to be taken on a primary sense. But what you have to look into is, who is going to be elected in the left bloc? Who is going to be elected for the Republicans? And how are we going to manage to oppose the extreme ideas of the Rassemblement National, who is trying to do a sort of like makeover? But when you look at every single candidate that they're placing in different constituency, you see that they either have a Vichy pass, either have a anti-COVID, anti-vax also a behavior. You have to look at the people that are being placed. No, it's true. Look at it. It's very telling.
I think
who
that
is
you
being
speak
placed.
A lot. I would like to speak again.
Jacques Meillant.
Okay. First of all, a president speaking of civil war is totally irresponsible. He's playing with fire. He's gambling with fire.
I think you don't have
this is not acceptable.
To give
I think
to
he's
anyone.
Fully wrong. Secondly,
when
we hear that the only argument in politics is now to say extreme on here, extreme on that, this is a kind of weakness. Those who accuse the other one of extremity, I think that one day they are extreme foolish. That's all.
Well, I just want to say one thing. I think that Macron is responsible for the situation.
Of
He's
course.
The only one. He was the president. He has a big responsibility. He made this choice of the legislative now. I'm sorry, but it's too easy. He's what we call a pompier pyromane. And that's all.
He's a fireman and an arsonist at the
same
time.
Yeah. That's it.
I think this is very telling when you look at the fact that this is the legislature where you had the more motion de censure, so tentatives to actually take over the government and to have this dissolution. All of your parties voted for dissolution of the assembly,
what about,
they were not successful.
Okawa, what about the
and
second
the
part of that clip
the
we
said,
who is responsible for the state of France
today?
Who is responsible for the state of France of today?
Look at how we have
you
this
are
debate.
Responsible
look
for
at,
that.
Look at the aggressivity that you have.
No, I'm sorry. Don't try to say to our
one at a time. One at a time. One at a time.
No,
Edin Okawa.
I'm being completely honest, and I'm looking at the way you express yourself, and it reminds me of the National Assembly and at the opposition's that were not constructive. Every time they were constructive, we were able.
The opposition is not the government.
If you stop, I can make an idea.
I'm sorry, but with the retreats reform, but like an example,
the reform of the pension reform.
Instance, at every single
trade unions tried something. You always refused anything.
It's not true.
Even the CFDT tried
France
something.
You put France in a deadlock situation.
I think today what is happening in this campaign is that everyone is saying you're responsible for the rise of the extreme right. And this is what parties keep doing. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. I think we have to fight those ideas because they're extremely
But you heard the
dangerous.
Second part of Emmanuel Macron's clip. He
they're
says, first he
dangerous.
Talked about civil war, and then in the second part of the clip, he talks about how, well, we have to be tougher on crime and immigration.
What he's saying is we have to address people's problems.
So is he sending dog whistle messages to those that you're...
I give you an advice for your president. Shush. He must be quiet.
Are you telling me to shut up?
He should not speak anymore.
No, he's talking about Macron.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying
to
me.
Not to you.
No, because that was very rude.
Yeah, but I say, more Macron speaks, the more he creates, wrong.
To be one quote, I think French people don't want to see this kind of politics. They deserve better. They deserve responsible leaders.
You mean they deserve better
they
than Macron?
They deserve
right.
better
You're
than
right.
than this kind of debate. They deserve to talk about topics. They deserve to see what they're going to be voting. Look, you can,
right,
you
the
can
stakes,
continue.
The stakes in any case are high.
They are high, and I think the debate should be higher. The debate should be about ideas. When you see a bloc that has different ideas on everything and that is regrouping just to oppose another party, when you see la droite de gouvernement that now goes with the Rassemblement National, this to me was a real shock. And this, I don't think, is what French people want to see.
Olivia Polsky, let's talk for a moment about the left, which big press conference last Friday. announcing that how they would finance a 12% hike in the minimum wage. And others are saying, no, this is unrealistic. What does this left have in common?
At first, we have to analyze why we are here. We are here because the people have difficulties to pay their bills. The journalist talked about it. We are in that situation because some people cannot have a housing, a decent housing. And many people are in a poor situation. And that's why today they have the sort of rage. So we have to find and propose things that is at the right level. And so we are having some proposals that is on the health issue, are on the health issues, the education issues, the housing issues at first. We have priorities to respond to the problem of the French people. We can talk about Macron, the right, the far right. The problem is to answer the French people problems.
And you have so different views within your group.
Well, I'm sure we have a program and we do agree.
So do we. And
I wish to come back on one thing
different.
That you mentioned, but we didn't go further. Cooperation. It doesn't work the way that the chief of the army, the president, and the prime minister, Article 20. I experienced that, and I talk with Balladur, and in fact, it doesn't go that the president say, I want this, and the prime minister, they discuss.
But on national security issues, they did speak across
did
the aisle.
Speak, but they
will
speak,
that be the case if it's they, Marine Le Pen
you know,
as
in fact,
a party in,
they go,
in government?
They talk, there is a dialogue. And I can assure you that Mitterrand wanted that Balladur would send troops in Kigali, you know? And the prime minister said no. And they never, and the president did not succeed.
But so, at the end of the day, they settled their scores.
Dialogue.
At the end of the day, the example you give, they settled their scores behind closed doors.
No, but they speak.
What will happen this time? Will this time be different?
They will do the same thing. Because, in fact, you cannot, in such arguments, in such situation, the president cannot decide of everything. Because the government is also responsible for defense.
There's one possibility, which is the far right wins. There's another possibility, which is a hung parliament. And the president can't dissolve a second time. What happens then?
Deadlock.
Well, it can be ungovernable for 1 year. Then after he can dissolute too, after 1 year.
It goes back to my previous point. None of the blocs, neither of the blocs really matter. What matters is the people and how responsible or not they are. And that's my message
but
to French
Macron,
people voting. Is that who are you voting for and are they able to make compromises? And we did. For 2 years, it was tough at the National Assembly, but we did. We voted different things, different laws that were proposed by different groups, not by the Rassemblement National, never, but by other groups that
so
were responsible. And so this is the point.
And you know how
we anticipated it? We didn't put any candidates in the constituencies where we were sure that if there had been two Republicans, the far right would have passed. And I think that is a responsible behavior. It is true. It
so
is true.
There were not many examples. I have many examples.
Dear Carol,
my name is not Carol.
To succeed,
first you ask me to share, and then you mistake my name.
That's of course the Rassemblement and the Republican win this election, and then we will have a government which will be
a big
able
disagreement.
To govern.
Fortunately,
France.
I think
it's incredible.
Most
that
we don't speak
about French people and French problems. We're just
we
talking
do.
About
we
ourselves.
Do.
Come on, this is a problem. I mean, we have to deal with what they're asking for,
and that's precisely why
are you going to propose?
So what we have done, and look, it's very difficult to make things pass when you have an opposition that is by principle opposed to whatever.
Didn't Emmanuel Macron break
to
his promise on the second night of the legislative elections in 2022, where he said he would he would be more open, he would govern more, and then he ruled a lot by decree.
This is a joke.
The decrees and the 49.3, the article of the Constitution that allows to pass bills, were mainly used for budgets where you had, before even the discussion started, a number that was the biggest number in the entire Fifth Republic of amendments that were presented, and the oppositions that said, we don't even want to look at what you propose in terms of budget, we are going to vote against. So I think now everyone has to take their responsibility. We're in a new configuration.
The point is that the Fifth Republic...
Stop interrupting.
You have no success to send a new majority in the National Assembly.
I'm just saying, this is your fault. I would be very happy.
Please, you interrupted me. We have heard you. Can you just listen one time? Merci.
That's very misogynistic.
Thank you. You know what
right,
I know?
He interrupted me, and now he's telling me to shut up.
You have been talking a lot, so please listen once.
Rude.
Merci.
I think that, in fact, the situation, you are responsible for it.
And what I hope is that we will have a full majority on the right so that we can govern.
Let me go around the room once because we're running short on time. Between the two rounds of the presidential election, if there are candidates from the left, will you call to vote for them?
Absolutely. If they're Republicans in their essence, if they're not extremists, of course I would. And it would be the same for
also for the right. So if it's from France, unbowed?
For the right, for the Republicans, right, that haven't made any agreement with the Rassemblement National and dirty their name.
Jacques Millard, three-way races?
Pardon?
If there are three-way races, what will you call for?
Wait and see. I never decide on hypotheses.
Olivia Polsky?
I have 25 years of militantism against anti-Semitism, racism, against the far right. So
you cannot accuse
the right to be anti-Semitic. We'll be against the far right everywhere. That's all. That's our enemies. And that's quite clear.
And there
are speaking
too.
Of enemies. This is very grave.
One more day of campaigning to go.
Macronism is my opponent.
One more day of campaigning to go before the first round of the legislative elections. There'll be a runoff 7 days after that. Jacques Millard, I want to thank you. I want to thank you as well, Olivia Polsky, Eleanor Carroix.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us here in the France 24 debate.
Restez un instant, qu'on se fasse une photo.